Well, God's good. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Matthew 18 and verse 18. Again, this is part 5 of our authority series, so I certainly cannot go over everything, so we'll just kind of touch this verse here and go from there. Matthew 18, 18. We're learning that we have a part. Amen. You know, I heard this statement years ago, and it stuck with me because it's true, and I found it to be true, that how my life turns out has way more to do with me than it does God. You know, you have to cooperate with Him. You know, there's a manward side and there's a Godward side. You know, people fight you on that and say, well, I don't know. Well, if you think about what Jesus said, He said, they that do the word, they'll be like the ones that built the house on the rock, right? When the storms come, it won't crash. But then He said, just the same thing, you know, if someone hears the word but doesn't do it, their life turns out with a crash. Now, there He's saying life can be a crash or life can be a blessing based on what you do, not based on what He does. He's done it all already. Now we cooperate with Him, and so we're learning that with authority. Much ignorance in the body of Christ concerning this. Many people doing things wrong, letting the devil take advantage of them, not recognizing that they have a part. But we're getting equipped. Hallelujah. Help us tonight, Father. We come humbly before You, in front of Your precious word, Father, that's a light to us. It's a guide. It's a roadmap. It's a compass. It takes us to where we need to go. It gets us out of the stuck places, the hard places. Father, we're just so thankful for Your word tonight. We don't take this lightly. Even though we do this on a fairly consistent basis, Father, we don't look at this as a light thing tonight or count it as something not important. No, we reverence Your word here tonight. And speak through me tonight, Father. May there be boldness and utterance. Father, we don't need man's wisdom or ideas. We need Heaven's words, Heaven's thoughts, Heaven's plans. So, Father, I thank You. Heaven will show up tonight, Father. The speech and the preaching of myself will not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but there will be a demonstration of the Spirit and power. Bullseyes will be hit, utterance will be spoken with boldness. And, Father, do what You want to do. Say what You want to say, Father. We're open to it. And as far as I know right now, we're to go into the message, so we'll obey You. But, Father, feel free to move, do whatever You want. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Well, in Matthew 18, in verse 18, this kind of talks about what I was just saying. Verily I say unto you, Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What's He saying? Heaven's got your back. But heaven don't move till you move. Well, if you need things bound, what are things that are bound? Things that are running loose in your life that shouldn't be. Sickness, disease, depression, fear, worry, anxiety, opposition from the enemy, pressure. If all those things are running loose, they need to be bound. You're just sitting there waiting for God to do something. He said, I'm waiting for You to do something. You got to bind that. Well, there's things we need loosed on the earth to come towards us and to bring towards us and to believe God for, and things that need to change. And God, just do it. God, just do it. He said, I'm waiting for You to do it. He's not the lead. And you say that to people, and they'll call you blasphemy, but He's not the lead in this dance. He's following your steps. If you bind, I'll bind it. If you loose it, I'll loose it. You'll have heaven's backing. But see, we're seeing that because where I grew up and where many of you grew up, that's not how we were taught. We were taught that God is sovereign and in control of everything, and no matter what happens, that's just His plan, you know. If someone dies young of sickness and disease, that was just God's plan. If this and that's happened in the world, that's God's plan and God's plan. No, God's plan is the Bible. God's plan is the Bible. You know, if someone lives a life of sickness and disease and poverty and fear and depression, that's not just because that happened, that was not what God had for them. What God had for them is what He said in the Word. Now, just because it says it in the Word doesn't mean it'll come to pass for the believer. Salvation's in the Word, but it doesn't come to pass for everybody. Even though it's available to everybody, but until everybody cooperates with it, they don't get it. And so we're learning through this that we have authority. And in Matthew 28:18, Jesus said this before leaving the earth. Now, He's already died and rose again, so He's leaving His last words here to the disciples. And in Matthew 28, in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, we've seen in this series that word power there in the Greek is the Greek word exousia, which better translated in other places is authority. And we know that because in Luke 10, 17, they translated it wrong too. There's two words power there. One was exousia, one was dunamis. This is not dunamis, which really means that supernatural power. He says, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. See, because if it was power, if it was power that was transferred, well, there's just things on this earth we do not have the power to overcome. There are things that we don't have the ability to get past. But there's things we can stop in their place. And the best thing I can use the example of is a police officer has authority with that badge, with that uniform. And, you know, I remember being at when it was Ralph Wilson Stadium, you know, season tickets to the Bills from 87 to 96, you know, and leaving the stadium and getting to the stadium. And there'd be police officers outside the stadium and whatever roads are right there, you know. And there'd be vehicles that weigh way more than the police officer and are stronger and have more power than the police officer. That police officer needs to stop traffic so people don't get hit and get hurt. And the people walk across the streets, you know, and they stop that traffic. They need that to happen. But the police officer doesn't have to use his power. He doesn't have power to stop a truck. He doesn't have power to stop a semi or a car. So what does the police officer use to stop that which he doesn't have the power for? Authority. Just holds his hand up. And it stops. Well, it's not power that he gave us, because if it was power that he gave us, he didn't give us very good power, because there's things that are incurable, there's things that are impossible, there's things we don't know how to get out of. But he did say, I give you my authority. He said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Well, that's for him. He said, well, did he leave me out? No, he said in verse 19, which also you have to take all the Gospels, when he spoke to the disciples in Mark 16, which we're going to go next, he told them even a little more about this, but he says, all authority I have it, I'm giving it to you, so go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, go to Mark 16. We're going to have Mark's version of these last words that Jesus spoke before he exited stage left, you know. And so he said, all authority's been given unto me, therefore, go therefore, he's saying. So what he's really saying, and Matthew left out, is that he's transferred that authority unto us. Well, has he? Well, we find in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, he said, go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. Now look at this. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name. Remember, he said, in my name is what? He said, I have all authority in heaven and earth. He says, now I'm giving you the use of my name, is what we're going to talk about tonight. He says, in my name, cast out devils. Well, you don't have power to do that, but you have authority to do that. In my name, cast out devils. So when Jesus was on the earth, what was he doing? Casting out devils. But what did he say now? I'm leaving the earth. You're my body. You're supposed to do on the earth what I did on the earth. The body of Christ's mission has not changed when Jesus left. The body of Christ's mission when Jesus himself in body was here was what? Reach the lost. Bring the signs, wonders, and miracles to the people. Display the kingdom of God. Well, the literal body of Christ is not here anymore, but the spiritual church body of Christ is, and our mission has not changed. We're still to win the lost, love the world, save the world, heal the world, provide, be a blessing, miracle, signs, and wonders. And he says, you're going to do it through my name. In my name, the devils that are giving you a hard time, as Satan's the ruler of this world, you're going to cast them out. So guess what? If you don't cast out, he ain't going to cast them out. Whatever you bind, he'll bind. Whatever you loose, he'll loose. He says, in my name, they'll speak with new tongues. Verse 18, in my name, they'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Supernatural protection. And look at this. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, what was Jesus doing? Healing the sick when he was here. Well, he's not here anymore. You think he's just going to leave all the people in the world? You know, wherever he went, he healed people. Why? It was a demonstration of what God wanted to do on the earth. But God's plan, God doesn't change. He's the same God. And his plan didn't change when his son left. He still loves people and still doesn't want people sick. So now he actually can do it in a greater measure. And remember, we'll look at a verse here where Jesus said, I go to the Father, but the works that I do, greater works will you do. Why? There's a whole lot more of us. You had to go to his location. But now, if we can get the revelation that he told us that in his name, the things he told us to do here about casting out devils and healing the sick, that was exactly what Jesus' ministry was. And now he's saying, I'm leaving you my name so you don't stop what I'm doing. But now we're not just going to do it in Jerusalem. We're going to do it in South Dayton. We're going to do it in Frewsburg. We're going to do it in Jamestown. We're going to do it in Lakewood, in Cherry Creek, in Fredonia. Because there's a whole lot of us. But a lot of people don't understand. Because he said it's in his name. So this authority that he left us is all based on the name of Jesus. Because Jesus had all authority, things like sickness, disease, depression, anxiety, fear, all those things, they didn't overcome him. He had authority over those things. Now go to John 16, 23. Actually, before you go there, just to show you that one verse I was talking about, go to John 14 in verse 12. We're going to look at two verses that pretty much say the same things. You know, they're worded a little different, but so Mark 16, he tells you what? In Mark 16, when he talks about laying hands on the sick and casting out devils, he doesn't mention anything about prayer. He just mentions using his name in authority. Now in John chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, notice this, the works that I do, he shall do also. Well, what was Jesus doing? Casting out devils and laying hands on the sick. Absolutely. But you know why we also will do greater works? Not only because in number we'll do greater works, but also one thing Jesus never did that we can do, get people filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a greater work. He never did that. He never got one person filled with the Holy Spirit, you know? And so then it says, greater works will he do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and here we go, and whatsoever you ask in my name, there's that name again. So he's saying, if you want to have success casting out devils and laying hands on the sick, it's got to be in my name. And now he's saying, whatsoever you shall ask of my name, I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now go to John 16, 23. Same kind of wording here. John 16, 23 says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. What's he saying? We don't pray to Jesus. If you're asking Jesus for something, you're doing it wrong. He said, you know, in that day, you're not going to ask me anything. It's the Father we ask and petition. He says, in that day, you're going to ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name. See, he's not out of the equation, but you ask in his name. He says, he'll give it to you. Verse 24, hitherto or up until now, you ask nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Wow. There's so much power packed in these three portions of, or three places of scriptures, Mark, John 14, and John 16, that tell us that we can ask in the name and receive, and we can use authority in the name and have results. But it's all centered around the name. Amen? Now, I want to give you a little story that will help you to understand this, because Jesus said we could use his name, and he said, greater works will you do. You'll do the works that I did, but greater works. So he's saying, the things you saw me do in miracles, signs, wonders, healing, casting out devils, helping people, you're to do them, but they have to come through my name. Why? Because we don't have the power and the ability to do it. But if he gives us his name, praise God, just like the police officer, doesn't have the power and authority or power and ability to do it, but he throws that badge on and that uniform on, and it got authority now to stop things that are much stronger and more powerful. So what does it mean? Well, E.W. Kenyon, who I love, he's got some wonderful books. He told a story of how he was preaching at a conference one time on the name of Jesus. And when he was preaching on the name of Jesus, a lawyer interrupted him and said, are you telling me that Jesus gave us the power of attorney concerning his name. And Kenyon said to him, "You're the lawyer. You tell me, did Jesus give us power of attorney?" And the lawyer said, "If language means anything, then yes, Jesus gave us the power of attorney." Now, if you're unfamiliar with the power of attorney is, I'm very familiar with it because I was power of attorney for my father for many years. Power of attorney is a legal document that allows one person to act instead or on behalf of another person. Now, I was power of attorney when my dad had a stroke. My sister was as well. That means I had a document with me that I could go to any store with my dad's checkbook that had his name on it, his account, his money, what his resources were, and I could go and purchase something. And even if I personally didn't have that in my bank account or have the ability or the resources, as long as my dad did with that legal document of power of attorney, I could get whatever I'm signing for. Now, people could take advantage of that. We never did take advantage of that. But my point is this. That's what power of attorney is. You're acting on behalf of another person. And the lawyer said to him, "Are you saying that Jesus gave us power of attorney?" And Kenyon said, "You're the lawyer. You tell me if language means anything." So what Jesus is saying when he's saying, "Use my name and you can do the same things I'm doing," Jesus is saying, "The authority that I have is still on the earth. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. It never changes. It's all here. But how we use that authority, he's no longer here to use it." It's just like the time I went and bought my dad a hunting license. And, you know, he was getting to a point where he really couldn't do much hunting anymore. But he had some friends that would, you know, take him out and just, you know, try to get him at least into a field or something to be able to sit there. So he needed a license. But it was just hard to get him into Walmart and things. So I went to Walmart and I bought a license with the power of attorney. You're not Paul Anderson, I know, but I got this power of attorney. So I'm here acting as if I'm Paul Anderson. And that's a legal document that tells me I can do that. And Jesus is saying, and that lawyer said, if language means anything, Jesus is saying, I'm not here anymore. My dad's not at Walmart, but I have his checkbook. I have all his resources. I have what's backing his name with me, even though the man's not there. And Jesus said, I'm not here anymore, but all my resources are. All my abilities still are. All the things that we need to do to get this job done are still here. Just step in place and be power of attorney in my name. That's what he's saying. And so many people don't realize what's backing that name. And the lawyer, or Kenyon said, well, how he was kind of unfamiliar with this power of attorney. He said, how much value does power of attorney hold? And the lawyer said, it depends how much is backing the name. How much authority, how much power, how much the name represents. You know, if a CEO of a company gave power of attorney to one of their children or somebody else in the company, And there's big decisions to make, they could walk in there, if that person signed it over and said, you are now making all decisions in my name as power of attorney, they can walk in there with their authority and move and shake that place. Just because they're acting in the name. Somebody that couldn't afford hardly anything, if they're power of attorney for somebody that's really wealthy, now they have all access to what their account is. Amen? And so it depends on what's backing the name. And this is where we fall into ignorance and we just throw that name out. You know, the name of Jesus is not meant to be used like hocus pocus is or abracadabra. We know that those words are you know, it's the magic and stuff that comes from that. It's just illusion and there's way, you know, there's answers to this stuff. But they throw it out there with those words and then something changes. And that's how people use the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus this, in the name of Jesus that. Just want everything to change. But there's a problem with that. You have to have faith in the name. Remember we looked at last week, go to Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now, I have to clarify something. The name of Jesus belongs to you as a believer to use that name. But a lot of people won't use it in authority and faith because they've yet to have faith in the name of Jesus. How do I say this? You don't need faith to use the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus belongs to you, but you need faith in the name of Jesus for it to work. It belongs to you, so it's yours. He didn't say you can use that name if you have faith. No, it belongs to you, but if you want it to work, everything is connected to the force of faith. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man from his mother's womb was carried and was laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms or giving. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look at us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'I don't have any silver or gold with me, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" Now, the Bible says he took him by the right hand, verse 7, and immediately lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He, leaping, stood up and walked, entered with them into the temple, praising God, walking, leaping. All the people, verse 9, saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And so this is happening. Peter then preaches a sermon to them about what's happening here. And verse 16 is the key. We know he said what? In the name, get up. And verse 16 says, "And his name." See, Peter does not have the ability to heal a lame man that's been there all his life. He doesn't have that ability. But you can, like I said, you can go to the store and not have the ability in your own account to pay for something, but if the person you have power of attorney does, you can buy that thing legally. You've stepped in their place. So when Peter said, "In the name of Jesus," he must have recognized the value and the resources backing that name. To say, "In the name of Jesus," grab the man and pull him up. He knew, without a shadow of a doubt, there's money in this account. This ain't gonna bounce. That's what he's thinking. Why? Because he's stepping into, as power of attorney, and representing as if Jesus himself were there. Which is what? Everything that Jesus has. When you're power of attorney for somebody, you know, whatever's signed over to you. And Jesus said, "All authority is signed over to you. Everything I did on the earth," he said, "you can do it and more." So he held nothing back. Because someone might say, "Well, you're the CEO, you can have power of attorney, this and this and that," or a family member. But Jesus said, "It's all yours. In fact, you're going to do everything I did and more. It's all yours." So Peter's stepping in place of Jesus and acting how Jesus would act. Not on his own ability. Do you see why maybe we haven't had so much boldness when we minister to people? Because why? Or when we pray in the name of Jesus? Because I'll get to that too. Because we go with a mindset of our own abilities, of what we have, our own fears, our own apprehensions, our own worries. And so when we lay hands on the sick, "Oh, I sure hope this was going to work." Peter didn't think that. Why? Jesus never hoped it would work. I told you this, if I'm power of attorney for President Donald Trump and he'd given me his bank account, when I go to buy anything from the store, I'm not wondering, is it going to bounce? I know what backs the name. And Peter's like, "I've seen this. I've seen this." You know what's amazing about this? We read this, "Oh, Peter, it's given to every believer." He that believes, the Bible says. Not he that's a minister. Not he that's called to the fivefold offices. Not he that's... Why? Because if we limit it to the fivefold offices and limit it to church, there's a whole lot of people that are never going to get a touch from Jesus. Because there's way more of you than there are of me. There's way more of you than there are of Pastor Nancy Dufresne's. Yeah. And I don't go into your workplaces. And I don't go into your Thanksgiving dinners. And I don't go into the places where you shop with you. You are the walking, talking Jesus in those places, in your schools, in your workplaces, in your homes, and in your family. Hallelujah. So thank God he didn't limit it to any. Now we see this, we're like, oh, wow, that's amazing. No, it wasn't Peter's anointing. It was the power of the name. Because he said it was his name, not my anointing, not my calling. It was his name and faith through his name that made this man whole. See, Peter didn't just say abracadabra, hocus pocus in the name. No, he knew. You know he knew for how confident he was. What does it say after the Bible says, in the name of Jesus, verse 6, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. A man that's never walked before. He had so much confidence that there's going to be strength in his legs. He grabbed the man by the hand and lifted him up. What would our thoughts have been? Oh my gosh, I hope he doesn't fall. How am I going to explain this one? Why are we that way? Because we have not sold out on the power that is in it when we say in the name. In the name. It's true. So we need to find out what backs it. And remember over there in Acts, I believe it's over Acts chapter 12, we talked about the seven sons of Sceva. Sceva was a Jewish priest, and they had seven sons, and they were trying to cast out evil spirits in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And remember, they used the name of Jesus, spirit come out, and the spirit came out, but it came onto them. Beat them up, stripped them naked, they ran out and fled the house. Well, they used the name, yeah, hocus pocus, abracadabra, I sure hope this works, let's just throw it out there as like any casual other term. See, they had no faith in that name. They had no faith. They heard somebody else. That's why I'm so thankful for the things I've gone through and things I've had to experience. And my pastor told me, you'll never be an echo, Pastor Mike. Too many echoes in the body of Christ. Echoes don't have the same, I don't know, gumption, the same force, the same power behind what they're saying. And it's like, if you think that you're going to be healed, well, I've heard Pastor Mike say God's a healer. Thank you for my healing. There's no faith in that. There's no faith in that. And that's what they're saying. We heard Paul say this, so let's try it. Hocus pocus. Now that didn't work. Abracadabra. That didn't work. So you got to have faith in the name. And the only way you can get faith for something is what? Knowledge. Hearing the word leads to faith. What's when you hear the word? Knowledge comes to you. So I want to look at the name real quick. Let's look at the name. Now, I want you to think about this. These are some of the things that back the name. This isn't every scripture about the name. Just some of the highlights. I'm going to go through this real quick. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. The name. Getting sold out to the name. Why? He told us we can cast out devils with that name. He told us we can lay hands on the sick in that name. He told us we can ask and receive in that name. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 4. Well, to get context, you probably should look at verse 2. He says, He hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he has made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, Jesus he's talking about, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Notice this, verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels. You read the Bible, and you think about the places that the angels did things. Oh, they had some power and some ability and some things. And the Bible says Jesus was made so much better than the angels. And he hath by inheritance, notice this, obtained a more excellent name than they. That name of Jesus is the more excellent name. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Philippians 2 and verse 9. Glory to God. Philippians 2 and verse 9. Again, I'm just going to go. I know I hear pages turning, but I want to get through this. Wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Now think about this in terms of different things on the earth. All authority, Jesus says, has been given to me in heaven and earth. Did poverty ever get over on Jesus? Never. He always had a full supply everywhere he went. He needed tax money. It was in the fish's mouth. He needed to supply a banquet for thousands and thousands of people. He said, find the boy with the fish and the bread. Yeah. Nothing. He needed a donkey to ride into town for before he's getting crucified. And what'd he say? Go ask the guy down there. Tell him the Savior has need, or the Lord has need of it. What he just said, when I have a need, it shows up. I love his attitude when he needed that donkey. He said, just go ask for it. It'll be there. Why? He knew. My needs don't go unmet. What if we had that revelation? See, we get caught up because all the money's not there right now, and we get uncomfortable and squirmy. We can't see it all. We can't put our hands on it. It's not in our bank account. And so we get nervous, and faith goes right out the window and down the drain. What if we had the mentality of Jesus? Because he said, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. Remember the idea we taught on needs? The needs show up a lot of times before the supply's ever even on the scene. So don't be alarmed when the need shows up. Jesus wasn't. I need a donkey. Go find me a donkey. We have thousands of people to eat. We'll make it happen. I need tax money. I ain't got any in my pocket. We'll fish and get some. That's a prosperity and supply mentality. So poverty never had anything over him. Did sickness and disease ever have anything over him? No. He was always getting rid of it. Did the devil have anything over him? No. He's always casting out the devil. So when you think about this, you could say this. Everything on earth, every disease, every form of poverty, every form of emotional depression and fear, loneliness, all that stuff, Jesus had trumped all of it. And the Bible says he's given him a name above every name. You say, well, that's good for him. No, you're missing it. It's transferred to you. He is that name is above every sickness, cancer, arthritis, MS, all of them. Diabetes, a name above it. Do you think diabetes would have got over on Jesus? Nope. He'd have dealt with it. Think cancer could have overcome the Savior? No. No. Well, we look at poverty. We don't see Jesus being depressed. We don't see Jesus all. He's over all that stuff. And guess what? That name has been given to you. The name that is over everything on the earth. But it's got to come through faith in that name. And in verse 10 it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of things in heaven on the earth and things under the earth. Glory to God. Acts 4 and verse 12. That name. Oh, we got to get a revelation. Now see, I'll be honest with you. If I went to the store and had to buy something with somebody else's account as power of attorney, and I didn't know what was in their account, and I had a big cart full of stuff, or go to Home Depot, a cart full of stuff, and I'm checking out, if I don't know what's in their account, you know what I'm going to be? Timid. I'm going to be nervous. I'm going to be unsure. What am I going to be? Not full of confidence and faith. This all gets taken care of when we get it in our hearts, not in one sitting here. When you meditate, I've been meditating and meditating and meditating on the name of Jesus. Why? We have a miracle ministry that's been prophesied. It won't come without the name. Because Mike Anderson's not anointed to do miracles. I am through the name. And we got to get so big on the name. Because miracles aren't supposed to just be in the church walls. They're supposed to be in your workplaces. Yeah. You look at the book of Acts. Common people that weren't ministers were performing miracles. Why? They had a revelation of the name. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Mike's been anointed miracle man. That's what they're saying about him. There'll be a ministry of that. But what do you think is going to spill over onto you? Glory to God. Acts 4 and verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among which men must be saved. Well, what happened in salvation? You got translated from the kingdom of darkness, the power of darkness, into light. The greatest miracle that ever took place in your life came by the name. You were in the grips of hell. The greatest miracle came by the name. Acts 4 and verse 30. The name. I mean, can we just be honest that maybe we haven't been fully sold out and aware of what's in the bank account? I mean, I know that most of you know when you go shopping exactly what you have, and you let it trip you up and stumble you around, and that's, right? You know exactly what your abilities are and lack thereof. We got to get more acquainted with him than us. Think about Peter. Shortly before this happened, he's denying Jesus. Here's a man that's a weakling, denying him three times. And now he's got the boldness. Why? He got over himself and got into the name. I'm a walking, talking Jesus. Doesn't matter that I don't have the ability. Doesn't matter that I have the... Go to the store with my dad's account. Doesn't matter that I don't have the money. It's okay. I don't need the money. I have his account. Hallelujah. What did I say? Verse 30, it says, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders, that's miracles, may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Luke 10:17. I'm stirred up. Let me tell you what you should do. You should take all of this and you should go home with it and you should feed and feed and feed and feed and feed until when you pray in the name of Jesus, you realize it's not based on you. When you lay hands or cast out or use your authority, you know it's not based on you. You don't, none of you wonder if Jesus would get results because of what he has backing him in his account. But I'm trying to get across to you, that account is yours to use. The same way. The same exact way. Luke 10:17 says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And he said unto them, verse 18, I beheld Satan his lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power, that's the word authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all, that's the word power, dunamis, of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What's he saying? The use of the name can keep you safe and protected from anything the devil would throw your way. He can't violate the name. He just can't do it. And then last but not least, you know, there's more, but we'll just stop here. Romans 10:13. We know this as a salvation verse in the sense of being saved from our sins, but how many of you know Christians, even that are born again and going to heaven, they might not need to be saved from hell, but they might need to be saved from sickness. They might need to be rescued from depression. They might need to be rescued from poverty. There might be need to be rescued against people, nasty people that are influenced by the devil coming against them. They might need to be rescued. Well, Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call on the name shall be saved. Now, why we know that that verse is not just talking about being born again is because that Greek word is the word sozo, and it lines up with everything else we're talking about here, but the word sozo covers it all. It's a Greek word for salvation, which denotes a process of being saved, healed, delivered, rescued, set free, protected, and becoming completely whole and preserved. There's nothing the name can't cover because his name is above every name. And he demonstrated on the earth that there wasn't anything. And now he says, use this. So that, let me read that again because that's good. It's a Greek word, the word sozo, that denotes a process of being saved, healed, delivered, rescued, set free, protected, and becoming completely whole and preserved. Everything you need for life is in that word. What's he saying? The name of Jesus can get you out of any problem and into God's blessings. Faith in the name. Faith in the name. So that's all the stuff that backs that name. Now think of power of attorney. Think of what's in your account. Think of when you pray. Think of when you go to minister to someone or to use authority. And it's not you that's doing it. It's not based on you anymore. It's based on Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me read this to you here. This will help bring it into... You know, I'm just kind of saying the same things in different ways, but just to drill this home to you, I even have this in cap locks. You know what that means. It's important. When we pray in Jesus' name or use his name in authority, we are taking place, the place of the absent Christ to carry out his will on the earth. We are literally, when we say his name, we are acting as if it was him himself saying it and doing it. Why? To continue to do what Jesus did when he was here, which was what? Bring God's plan. What is the word, what did they call Jesus? Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. What is Jesus? Jesus was a manifestation of what God wanted for people. And you know, thank God we don't have to be like, well, it sure would have been nice to hit the lottery and live those 3.5 years that he operated in those miracle signs and wonders, because those people, they got it. They got used to the name. No, God loves his people too much. That Jesus said, I've defeated the devil. He's the authority over this earth, but I defeated him, so now you can take my authority. I'm signing it over to you. Power of attorney. Act as me on the earth. Do the things I did in greater works. See, we have it in our head, oh, those things are only what Jesus can do, or only what the apostles can do. That's because you haven't had your mind renewed. You're stuck in old-time religion. My Bible says the things that he did, he told me to do them, and greater things. Which were what? Casting out devils. Healing the sick. Praise God. Now, I just want to finish with this here, a couple things here. So, he said you can pray in the name of Jesus, and you can use authority in the name of Jesus. Now, a good way of just kind of a broad general idea of this, to pray in the name of Jesus is when you would, because notice that Peter didn't say any prayer when he told the man to get up. There was no praying. Why? Because prayer wasn't the answer in that situation. Authority was. But we know that prayer has a place. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, right? The Father has knows the things you have need of before you ask him. You have not because you've asked not, right? Ask and you'll receive. So we know that prayer has a place. Think of it this way. With petitions and things that you're petitioning him for, that's when you use the name of Jesus to pray. So here's what you have to understand. So I'll give you an example. When we needed a building in Olean, we're in the warehouse, and it's just time for a new building. I know it's a new building. Now, again, I don't have time to teach this. Maybe it'll be a spin-off into this at some point, but Mark 11:24 is the prayer of faith. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Once you pray that one time, you don't pray that anymore. Then you've entered into the saying and the continuing in prayer with thanksgiving and praising him for it in the name of Jesus. So, I went to him one time. Father, we have need of a building. Well, he said he knows what I have need of before I ask. He told me to ask. So when I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, now it's like Jesus asking the Father on behalf of me. Did Jesus ever not get his prayers answered? No. He said, Father, I thank you that you hear me and that you hear me always. He never didn't get his prayers answered. And so when you ask in the name of Jesus, Jesus is now taking that prayer to the Father on behalf of himself, and Jesus never doesn't get his prayers answered. Now, the only thing you have to understand is it's based on God's will. Because this isn't also a hocus-pocus, abracadabra, fairy dust, wave the magic wand, get whatever you want. You know, in the name of Jesus, I'm just going to start spouting off things. It's got to be according to God's will. You know, for example, when we were believing God for a new house, prayed and asked for a new house. Well, once I prayed and asked for a new house, I said, Father, we need a new home. I'm releasing my faith now, which he said he'll meet all my needs, so I'm releasing my faith. Thank you for a new home. I in the name of Jesus, I need a new home. So he goes to the Father with that. Pastor Mike Anderson needs a new home, Dad. It's according to your will. Well, after that now, what do I then do? I step into, Father, I thank you for the home. Why? Because I know he 1 John 5 and verse 14 says, I have confidence when I pray if I ask according to his will. He hears me and I have it. So if I believe I have it, I'm going to thank him for it. And I'm going to release my faith by saying in authority, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for a new house, in the name of Jesus. But, so that doesn't mean he's got a new house for me. I can just go around and find a house that I want and say, that's my home. In the name of Jesus, that's my home. No. But when he pointed out a house that was our home, and didn't matter what the bank account said, didn't matter what the realtor said, didn't matter what the person owned the house said. If he said it then I can put my faith on that specific home. Amen? Yeah, you need a vehicle. Doesn't mean you can go out and buy a Lamborghini. Well, I need a vehicle. So in the name of Jesus, well, what's his will on that? Praise God. So in petitions and thing, we use the name, but you have to understand, when you pray in the name, it's Jesus stepping in your place. Now, what about the authority in the name of Jesus? Remember, he said in Mark 16, he said, in my name you'll cast out devils, and in my name you'll lay hands on the sick. How many know we are called to deal with demonic forces? Remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The people that are giving you the worst time and the hardest time and being nasty to you, we look at them and say, they're the problem. But there's most likely a driving force behind that problem. I told the story the one time about the young girl that was in church and she was getting bullied, and we used the name of Jesus. But I was thinking about Caleb. There was a kid in his class, just nasty, pinching, hitting all the time. I mean, you know, remember the other time I said if a kid was kicking me, I'd just, remember that? That's what that kid needed. You know, he needed a good swift kick in the pants, you know. Of course, you can't do that anymore in the schools. You're not allowed to do that. You get in trouble, especially at other people's kids. Don't kick other people's kids. Just kick your own. I'm kidding. Oh, man. I'll get a knock on my door, open it, there'll be CPS. We heard online you said just kick your own kids. But anyways, just bullying, nasty. Caleb come home, marks on his body. I said, well, and just making his day miserable. Well, so this can't stand, you know. We're doing what we can to talk to the teachers and do what you can naturally. Yeah. Telling them and stuff, but how have you know, so that stuff goes unseen. I mean, he'd tell us, the teachers turn around, the kid do something to him and stuff, and there's one thing I know about Caleb, he doesn't lie. There's one thing I know about Caleb, he doesn't lie, and that's about as far as I can go with that in my home. Concerning my children. You fill in the blanks. Man, you're cute. You know how cute you are. You are cute. So cute. But I know he's not lying. So he tells me this stuff. I know. And so we just said, what? There's devil influence in that case. No. You can't do that to our child. Well, I didn't pray about that. Why? I don't pray for God to do something about the devil. Right. I knew the devil's influence in that kid messing with him. So what did I say? I said, devil, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. See, now when Jesus would say that to the devil, the devil's got to listen and do what he says. Yes. Not one devil stayed when Jesus cast him out.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, I don't know everything about my authority, but I have a little bit of understanding on the name of Jesus. So I know when I say in the name of Jesus, devil, you cease and desist your maneuvers against my child at once. I command you to knock it off. It wasn't what, 2 or 3 weeks later, the kid moved, up and moved. I mean, his family did. They're in first grade, you know. He didn't just start walking down the railroad tracks like I did in the video with the stick on his back. But he moved. The family just up and moved. No kid in the school anymore. We said, bye-bye. Na, 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 na. Hey, you know, we're celebrating. Yeah. Praise God. But we're also called to lay hands on the sick. Now, this is where you need to get a revelation. If there's one thing that's the dinner bell of salvation, it's healing. Yes. This story in Acts chapter 3, when Peter told the man, get up and healed him, it led to thousands of people being born again. One healing. One miracle. Thousands of people. And now guess what? The Bible says that many believed on Jesus because of the miracles he did. We have proof and testimony that many believed the word of the disciples because of the miracles they did. But here we are in our casual Christianity, in work with people that have devils bothering them, that have sickness running their body, and here we are with this treasure of power and ability, but because we have not take time to get out of the ignorant category and step out in boldness, the world doesn't get what the world got when Jesus was on the earth. And the world doesn't get what the world got when the disciples were on the earth. We get this, well, it was passed away with the disciples. It only passed away with the disciples because the church lost their mind somewhere. The name was given way back then, and they just took it, knew what it meant, and used it and had results. How are we going to fill the churches up? How are we going to get people in our families, in our work, born again, if we won't step out and be Jesus? But I believe that once we get confidence of what that name holds, we will step out. Because I believe one of the reasons we don't is because we're so afraid it won't work. I've been there. So afraid we won't have results. I remember one time I had been meditating and on faith, and I'll just close with a story. I was at JCC back when I was on, you know, the Mike Anderson world tour of whatever it was, just the Mike Anderson Follies, and this was when I was at JCC, and I was working out their gym, and there was a man, and I wasn't pastoring. Called him, you know, felt like I had a call to ministry, but it's important to know, just attending church like you are. And there was a man by the name of Bob there, and we had become friendly, you know, he's an older man, and he, probably in his 70s, and he had said to me, you know, we got friendly talking to each other and things. Well, one day I came in there, and Bob's down, and man, I'm like, Bob, you're not like yourself. Is everything okay, sir? And he said, well, I just went to the doctor. I'd been having some symptoms in my body, and they told me this, and it was a severe chronic thing that, you know, was either going to get him to die or get him pretty close to it. It was bad, you know, and the surgery that would have to be done was so invasive and for his age, and they didn't know, and he's just down in the dumps. Here he was, you know, happy all the time, going to the gym, working out every day, and, you know, kind of knew everybody, one of those guys that stuck around, talked to everybody, and it just rose up on the inside of me. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. In my name, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And I just said to him, because I had been building myself up, maybe not specifically just in the name, but I had been building myself up, confident, just ready to win the world, you know? And I said, Bob, you know, my God can heal you. My God can heal you. And I, you know, my head didn't know how his response was going to be. I said, you know, in the Bible, Jesus healed so many people. And I said, and he told me, this is what I said to him, I said, he told me that in his name, I can lay hands on people. I said, I don't have any healing power, but when I lay hands on you in the name of Jesus, that power goes into you as if Jesus was doing it. I said, Bob, I don't know where you stand with God or religion or anything like that, but would it be all right if I prayed for you? And I'll tell you what, there wasn't a doubt in my head. Why? I had been building myself up. My mind was renewed. I knew it was in the account that day. I'm not saying all the time. There's other times I got, you know, brush up on some things. But I did, and I didn't pray, Father, heal him. You don't see one time in the New Testament the disciples ever asking God to heal anybody. You see them always using the name. That's why when you come up, oh, Father, please heal them. You never hear me say that. Oh, Father, heal their body. You never hear me say that. Why? It's not biblical. What do you hear me say? In the name of Jesus, you go. Sickness, you go. Body, you get right. Healing, you come. Well, that's what I did. I laid hands on Bob right in the middle of that gym and said, in the name of Jesus, we command all symptoms, you know, whatever I said, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And then I prayed, Father, I thank you for it. I said, in the name of Jesus, all that stuff go. Father, I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. You know, finish that prayer in the name of Jesus. Sealed it off with Jesus. Well, it was, I don't know, a few days later. I think it was actually the next week because he had to go back to get the preparation for the procedure that was not very likely going to turn out well. It was a lot of, cancer type stuff in there that they were going to have to go in and remove that was aggressive in that, and it just, it wasn't a good situation for him, but it really hadn't started to affect his body till like it just all of a sudden came on like a week before because he was, or that week because he was fine the week before. And so I go in and they're all talking at the front desk because Bob had told everyone he's going to the doctor to get this checked out. I think it was Cleveland. And I get in there and they're like, I hear him talking in the corner about Bob. Oh, have you seen Bob? He's so happy today. He's just so excited. I thought, oh man, what's going on? You know what? I told you, sometimes I'm not the brightest light bulb in the pack. I didn't register that Bob was healed. Just, I don't know, Bob, maybe got a good scratch-off ticket. I don't know. I went and found Bob. He came right up to me. He said, Mike, he said, you're not going to believe it. I don't believe it either. You know, that's why God's merciful to people, you know. That's why the gifts of the Spirit weren't meant for Christians. They're meant for the unbelievers, because the unbelievers don't have faith to be healed. We have faith for healing. And I said, he said, Everything is gone. They did the test again to just double check to see if it's, anything's gotten worse. They said, there's nothing there anymore. I am completely fine. Everything's been canceled. Nothing's wrong with me. Well, what was that? A Christian. Not a preacher. Not an anointed miracle man that's been prophesied over. Just a Christian who knew what backed the name and used it, praise God. And someone's life was forever changed. You're going to do one of two things with this. It's going to sit on your shelf, and you're going to be like the wayside ground. Satan came and took it away. Or you're going to put this in you, and you're going to realize, see, Jesus told you to go out and do this. He didn't say if your personality was. I'm sorry, he didn't. Because there are people in your world. Your world is a mission field. Your little space in life, cubicle of life, is a mission field where it's filled with a whole lot of unbelievers and it's filled with a whole lot of Christians even that don't know anything. How many of you know it's few and far between people that know and act and walk in this kind of authority? And so if you don't do it, to assume somebody else is going to do it is ignorant, but also it's disobedient. He told them, you go forth and do this, and in my name these things will happen. What's he saying? The kingdom's not going to stop because I'm gone. It's going to grow because I'm gone. Didn't he say it's better that I leave? That's what he said. It's better that I leave. But it's not better if he leaves if Christians sit on their hands. I'll tell you, you get so fired up in the name when you realize it's not me laying hands on them. It's not my abilities when I pray. It's not this and that. It's Jesus going to the Father. Oh, that changes everything. Praise God. Let's worship him. Father, thank you for the name. That name of Jesus, that is not hocus pocus, that is not abracadabra, hallelujah. There is power in the name, power in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the name, we thank you for the name, we thank you for the name. Father, we love you and praise you for the name, hallelujah. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, as I look around this room, I know each and every one of you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but if you're watching on live stream right now or in the future via the archives, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, the Bible says there in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, there's no other name under heaven and earth which by men can be saved. And so Jesus is your answer. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. It's through the name of Jesus. And so it doesn't matter how much church you've been to, how much church you haven't been to, how good you are, how bad you are. None of those things determine whether you're getting in or staying out. It all determines on what you do with Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is the Savior. And so if you're watching this and you say, I believe in him, there's only one thing left for you to do. Romans 10:13 says you got to call on his name. First you believe, then you call. And Romans 10 and verse 9 is your outline. It tells you exactly how to be saved. Confessing with your mouth and believing with your heart. And so if that's you and you want to receive Jesus, when this message is over, just get on your knees and say, Father, I believe in your son Jesus, and I ask him to come into my heart, and I take him as Lord and Savior. I thank you for saving me. And then you finish that with, in Jesus' name, amen. That is what he wants. That is his will. And when you use that name, the power of darkness has broke off you, and now you are translated into God's kingdom. You are a child of God. He loves you. He's a father unto you. All because of Jesus, that name of Jesus. Send me an email. Give me a phone call. If you've done that, I want to help you with your next steps. He's got so much for you. Father, we just love you so much. We praise and magnify you here tonight, Father. For everything in Jesus' name, amen. Now here what we're going to do, we're going to turn live stream off. So we thank you for viewing live stream. We're going to get into prayer now. If you can stay, great. If you can't, that's